every 2 months. I have this gentleman on. It's one of the best hours you're going to hear in radio. Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine. And Mike, thanks for joining us again. I spoke to you last week setting this up. You didn't sound too good. I said, uh-oh, we got a sick boy here. But it turns out you're all better now, right?
Well, when you live as far north as I do, up in Manitowish waters, you get a couple of hard frosts pretty early. So we had two of those this week, and I think that wiped out the cooties. I'm back up and taking nourishment.
I haven't heard cooties since I was in grammar school. All the girls have the cooties, don't they?
That's only in New York where you grew up.
Yeah. Oh, stay away from Diane. She's got the cooties. Anyway, let's talk about this issue. It just came out the other day, the latest issue of Our Wisconsin Magazine, the fall issue. And before we even get started, the gatefold section of that, when you fold out the entire middle of the magazine, what a photograph of fall foliage in Wisconsin. Let's talk about that. Where is that picture taken?
Okay, that picture was taken, it's Door County, I believe, yeah. That photo, what we're looking at here is three-page fold-out in the magazine, center spread of the magazine. And what we're looking at is the landscape around Egg Harbor, Door County, in the interior. Not, you can see the lake off in the distance, but it's a fall farmstead, a fall view of a farmstead from a high-up drone perspective looking down. You've got the tidy red barn and the buildings in the middle, and then you have the fields that you can see they're kind of cut in contours, they're cut in, the crops are cut and put away for the fall for the upcoming winter. There's a lot of fall foliage, trees, and this photo was taken, as I mentioned, from a drone view. Plum Bottom Road, State Highway 42 in Egg Harbor. The man who took the photo is one of our professional photo contributors by the name of Daniel Kramer. Anybody who's a Green Bay Packer fan would recognize that name because Daniel Kramer is the son of Jerry Kramer, who made the famous block in the Ice Bowl. So it's one more example of the way we celebrate the state of Wisconsin. That's through the most colorful photography we can find on the thickest and slickest and nicest paper we can find. And it seems to work for the past 14 years.
You know, you look at that picture and say it's beautiful. I looked at it and said, who's going to rake all those leaves? That's what I saw.
That's a lot of trees there, brother.
Okay. We had a little thing. We spoke last week. You said, for me to pick out my favorite story, and then I'll figure out what yours is, it's the same story. It is. It's the toilet seat lady. And it doesn't sound as bad as that. But why don't we talk about that story? It's a really good story.
The toilet seat lady. So here's what's going on with that. Green Bay is the toilet paper capital of the world, but that's about 25 miles away. We're not talking about that. One of the features in Our Wisconsin is we ask the readers themselves to chip in stories of their past experiences in and around the state. We ask people to share what their first job was, their first real job where they got a paycheck. And we see some similarities in some of these. When you're a high schooler, you kind of work in the same sorts of jobs in stores and supermarket or a gas station or something. This lady went to work. She had just graduated from Luxembourg Casco High School, and she had earned some money to put herself into college. She needed tuition money. She's a farm girl from there, and around Algoma. And she went and applied at Plumbers Woodwork Company, known locally as the Algoma Toilet Seat Factory. This was a large industrial factory, very hot, and they turned out toilet seats along with the covers affixed to them in the thousands inside this hot, sweltering plant. And she came home, she got a job there, and came home and announced to her farmer father at the breakfast table, I got a job. She has 22nd interview. They said, you're hired. Where? the toilet seat factory, and her dad shook his head. Oh, you're not very tough. I've heard some bad things about working in there. You aren't going to make it a week. And she went in, and sure enough, there's burning hot toilet seats. She had to take them out of the oven as they're cooking enamel onto them. They're wood, and that burned and blistered her hands and clumsy gloves. But she was plucky and kept up. This girl just out of high school.
By the way, it could have been worse. She could have been a toilet seat tester.
Yeah, well, that comes on your break. But anyway, so she's got these toilet seats, and she was promoted to the line where you take a mechanical screwdriver and affix the seat to the lid. They're coming. They're going on down the line, and it's kind of like Lucy and Ethel in the chocolate factory where these unending conveyor belt full of product is coming at her. She's screwing these things on, and there's many young ladies doing it down the line, and deafening, loud, all that kind of thing in industry. And here comes the supervisor in 1974 in his green leisure suit with a lot of cologne, and he's walking down the line whispering something into the ear one by one of each woman on the line. And one woman breaks down and actually starts crying. Then he repeats this as he's going down, and she's watching her coworkers go into getting all shook up, going into hysterics, and she's wondering, is this a nuclear attack? What's happening? And he rounds the corner, and one by one, he's talking to these women just briefly, whispering in their ear. They're upset. She's praying there's not some huge catastrophe, and he comes up and whispers in her ear, and the date of this, Don, was August 16th, 1977. Do you know what happened on that date?
August 16th, 1977?
Yes.
Huh. No.
Why were these women all shook up?
August 16th. Oh, Elvis died. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That was the bad news he was sharing with all these high school girls down the line, and but, you know, they survived it, and the lady, Sherry Hayne Miller, who now lives in Appleton, the toilet seat lady, she worked there 4 years straight, earned her money, her tuition money to go to UW-Milwaukee, I believe, and she proved her dad wrong.
Now, on a somewhat related note, when I got into radio right out of high school, I begged for a job at the radio station. The only job available was cleaning toilets. And I said, I'll take it. And that's how I got into radio. And when I was 18 years old, I was a station janitor, a three-story building we owned. And that had clean sinks, toilets, the floors. Everybody there was a rabid smoker, so I had to clean all the ashes off their desks every day. So, yeah, somewhat related.
You clean toilet? That's starting at the bottom.
Actually, it was on the second floor. No, but, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere. Our guest is Mike Beno. Excuse me, Mike. Mike Beno from Our Wisconsin Magazine. And we're talking about the latest issue. Every 2 months, the issues come out. How does somebody get an issue or get the subscription to Our Wisconsin Magazine?
Glad you asked, Don. It's pretty simple. You just pick up the phone and you call 877-717-8925.
I love the way you gave the phone number. There was an episode of King of Queens where the son-in-law wanted to call a pizza place, and his father-in-law, played by, I can't think of his name all of a sudden. He played George Costanza's father, too, on Seinfeld. Anyway, he gives the phone number, give the area code, 21-2634-89. Like the numbers didn't, there was no rhythm to it. And he said, just give me the phone. Dot, 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 dot. And he goes, he's just giving numbers randomly. And he couldn't figure out how to make the phone call. So I'm glad you gave the numbers like that. Okay, one more time. Give me that phone number again if you want to subscribe.
Pick up the phone and call 877-717-8925.
All right, next story we're going to talk about has some has a great backstory on it. This is about the cheerleader, the high school cheerleader from Sturgeon Bay. Let's talk about that.
Well, The Green Bay Packers, it's rumored there's a team there. They'll get it straightened out. They're a little up and down this season. But the Green Bay Packers are probably the most reported story subject in the state of Wisconsin, wall-to-wall, all the time. And for that reason, we don't usually report much on it in our Wisconsin. We tell the stories from the readers themselves. But one reader was one of the original cheerleaders for the Green Bay Packers, going back many years. And with a story that personal, that kind of a personal angle, something she lived that's a little different, we'll go ahead and tackle this subject. So we're talking about Paula Homuth from Sturgeon Bay. She's a Sturgeon Bay native, and she was one of the Packer cheerleaders. Now, some history is needed here. In 1931, the Packers became one of the first pro football teams to have cheerleaders on their squad on the sidelines. But these girls, and my mother was one of them, by the way, in 1952. They got these squads from senior girls from Green Bay East and Green Bay West high schools, the only two high schools up there at the time. And they take six girls from each and put together a cheerleading squad. Over the years, they were called the Packerettes, then the Golden Girls, then the Sideliners. So that very early iteration of the high schoolers, they would have been the Packerettes, and they were there for nearly 30 years on the sidelines. Vince Lombardi comes in 1959, and he wanted a little bit more jazzy show on the more professional on the sidelines. So they got Mary Jane Van Dyes was her original name, her maiden name, and she was the girlfriend of Curly Lambeau right around that time. Her name, she became Mary Jane Sorgel later on, but she led, she was a very glamorous sort of drum majorette. She led the Packers lumberjack band into Wrigley Field and did a baton twirling routine to music and as a single person show, solo act. And the Chicago Tribune named her the Packers Golden Girl. Well, Vince Lombardi had this Golden Girl set up a group to work with her, and they called themselves the Golden Girls. And Paula Homuth, who I just mentioned, was a young lady in Sturgeon Bay. She was one of Mary Jane Sorgel's Golden Girls. Now, these were just, as she put it, giddy high school girls who weren't taking it real seriously. It wasn't really dance routines. It was more marching routines. And Mary Jane would take this group of girls down to wonderful restaurants in Chicago and Milwaukee and treat them. And she mother henned them all around their travels and led them on the sidelines. And to this day, Mary Jane, I believe she passed away in 2022. Before that, Paula Homuth and several of her proteges that were led by Mary Jane went to her room at the end and performed, like, these are 70-year-old ladies. They're in there performing some of their routines, marching to Give My Regards to Broadway and other show tunes for Mary Jane in her room there toward the end, and did that for her. Very tight-knit group, and it was an interesting journey from 1931 to 1986. They finally, the Packers stopped having sideline routines at that time. None of this was ever the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. It wasn't ever that kind of thing. It was more hometown, and it's interesting to have that picture of the very professional Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders versus the young ladies from Green Bay East and Green Bay West High School.
You say your mother was one of them, huh?
She was, yeah. And when I was growing up, I was watching the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. I was a Packers cheerleader, and I looked at her and said, no, I shouldn't have done that to my mother. But That is true. She went to Green Bay East High School and was one of the girls on the sidelines for a brief period in her life.
Look at you, a touch of greatness. So you are. So she was a cheerleader, and who was the coach at the time when she was a cheerleader? Was it Lombardi, or was it who was the coach?
That would have been before Vince Lombardi. So, she was probably coaching when Scooter McLean was taking them to a 1-11 record. it was very early on. By 1959, when Lombardi got there, it took him a couple of years to get things going. I would have been probably about 4 years old. So she was off and married and into her adult life.
So you're just one degree of separation away from the Green Bay Packers.
You know something, when you grow up in a town like that, I look back in those years in the 60s. I mean, the kids I went to school with, they were Bart Starr's son, Zeke Bratkowski's son, in our backyard across the fence was a defensive backfield coach named Tom McCormick from down south. He chewed a lot of tobacco. My grandmother had a little tiny house, probably built in the 20s, that she was renting out on the west side of Green Bay with her tip money from waitressing at the hotel. It's still there. It's got a tiny one-car garage. Herb Adderley rented that house with his family from her in the 60s. He's in the NFL Hall of Fame in Canton. He was on Super Bowl teams for Dallas and Green Bay. This was very small town. Jerry Mortel, who I went to school with, his father, the insurance man in town, was the timekeeper at Lambeau Field. Well, when he moved on, young Jerry got old Jerry's job. He might still be the timekeeper. That's the way it was in that town. And when I look back on it, excuse me, I was working in Chicago, and the Packers were really bad, and then they started getting a little bit better during the Holmgren era. I would throw out these names, and people looked at me like, they couldn't believe that all these famous people were right around us in town. Tony Canadeo, the famous running back from the 1940s, these guys had to have second jobs. He was an exterminator. They got in shape in summer, and then they worked as plumbers or whatever they did through the years. It's an interesting little microcosm there, and I kind of shake my head when I look back at it. Is this? They weren't stars to us. We just grew up with these people.
Look at you, growing up in the town with the Green Bay Packers.
How far I've fallen.
Hold on. No, you haven't fallen anywhere. Hold on. We're talking to Mike Beano from Our Wisconsin Magazine. We still have some more stories to talk about in the latest issue. It comes out every 2 months. And it's one of those things when I see it in the mail, I say, oh, good. I rip the plastic off because it's put in the plastic wrapper. And we start reading it, my wife and I. Before we get to the other stories, though, Mike, I'm talking about the ad you have in here for a Clausen Christmas, because we were going to go there. We were all set to go take a trip up there, and my wife and I, and then COVID broke out, and that put the kibosh on that trip because they canceled everything. But let's talk about the ad in here. Because you did a story once, you said, of this family, right?
Yeah, the Clausen family up around Coloma, that's Marquette County, and the northern end of Marquette County is where this is located. And a reader quite a long time ago, I'm saying about 10 years ago, tipped us off about this family music show that's going on in central Wisconsin in the farm country. And we hadn't heard about that. Well, I mean, tour buses full of people are coming out for entertainment in this kind of hidden away little rural area, central part of the state. So we took a look, and we were astonished at the size and scope of what they have going on there at the Coloma, near Coloma, Wisconsin. It's the Clausen Family Music Show. And the family puts on, they have a like a big barn venue that's all refurbished, cleaned up. It's all modern. They have a modern kitchen and a stage and all the lighting. And the family is very talented. They're musicians. It's mostly string instruments. There's guitars and fiddles and stand-up bass, and they do retrospectives going, we mentioned Elvis a long time. They do some of that. They do a lot of country-themed music, rockabilly, different things like that. They have a Christmas show. Since we reported on this, they've had some ads from time to time showing the different theme shows they have. They've had Norwegian food there, and tied in with a theme. And so if you look online, Clausen Family Music Show, you'll see the list of events, the list of shows they have, and they've got Christmas programs coming up. So it's dinner theater. It's dinner and a show, and it's very Midwestern, very wholesome Midwestern, and interesting. I think I know our readers love it because they continue to comment on it in the magazine, and they wouldn't be putting ads in here if it wasn't working. So I think that is something. You just said that you missed one of their shows when COVID came on.
Yeah.
That I think you maybe ought to look at rebooking something because people have fun at those.
Yes. It's like those shows you see on the RFD channel on cable on Saturday night where they bring the Presley family out. They bring all these family shows out. Yeah, I would love to go. I think we're going to book it. Book a weekend
it's
getaway.
It's not Branson, but it's something kind of like Branson Light, I would call it.
Branson Light. Let's talk about their Hilltop Hideaway. I would love to live in a house like this. The problem with living in a house like this, you have pictured here, you have to live in the middle of nowhere. Because that's where this house is.
Oh, it's not the middle of nowhere. Now, maybe compared to where you grew up, Don, yeah, it's a back end of nowhere. But Blue River, Wisconsin is really a gorgeous place because it's in the Driftless region of southwest Wisconsin. And that is the area that was untouched by the glaciers. Now, three-quarters of the state was pretty much mown over by glaciers, and you have the rolling hills, the gently rolling hills. You got a lot of field stones. That's called drift. Those are stones that were hauled all the way from Canada by these great ice sheets. So that's enough geology for the program. But what we have in the Driftless area is the way Wisconsin looked before it was touched by the glaciers. It's very beautiful ridge country, when you're in the middle of it, near Blue River and Muscadet and Richland Center, it kind of puts you in the mind of Switzerland because you have these tall, tall ridges and little flat fields, farms in the coulees, the flat ground next to the ridges, as they call it. And if you look on the map, there's no straight roads, very few. I mean, they wind among the topography of these ridges, and it's very interesting, a slower way of life. And I live in far northern Wisconsin, the pinery with the lakes and all of that, and it's very nice. It's vacation land. For my money, it's not as pretty as a Driftless region. It's just the walnut trees, it's something. So this cabin we're talking about is this couple from Waukesha.
And by the way, hold on a second. Hold on.
Karen Richards.
Hold on one second. We're talking cabin. This is not like Abe Lincoln's cabin where he was born. This is not that cabin.
This is a little dressed up.
Yes.
But it's pretty new. It's we'll call it. It's part of our little cabin fever section that we run every once in a while and send a photographer. So what's different about this house that was built by the Richards, Karen Richards and Dan out of Waukesha, is that it's a house that comes from many different places, I would say. They found their piece of land in this Driftless area I'm talking about, 60 acres along Blue River, in Blue River, which is along the Wisconsin River. And they're going to build this home. So they got their little camping trailer, and they got the dream. They're figuring out where they're going to put their place. They weren't exactly sure what it was going to look like. So they came across a newspaper clipping advertising hand-hewn logs from the 1800s. It was a home that originally was in the Shawano area with flat-sided logs done by hand with an adze and taken apart, numbered, and it's to be put together like Lincoln logs. So they went and took a look at this house and bought those logs, hired a semi-truck, and at the time it was in East Troy with the builder. So it got from Shawano to East Troy. They hired a truck and hauled these logs out to the site. The logs date to 1852. Okay, so they got a crew, their sons and neighbors and everybody who was willing to lend a hand. They came out and sorted these logs and started stacking them, flat-sided, got them up. Dan's a bricklayer by trade, so he's doing a little bit of masonry work on the foundation, getting that going. The interesting part about this, as it was coming together, the floors that they used were wood from a 100-year-old barn in Green Bay. There's a tin ceiling in the kitchen. That was hammered tin. That was in an office building in Chicago. There are overhead lights in here that illuminated railroad cars in the 1800s, all rewired, obviously, and up to modern standards. Lights in the kitchen and great room are made from old blue mason jars. Interesting things everywhere you look in the wood. I mean, they've got oak and they've got walnut. There's eucalyptus going on in here. But what they made for themselves is it's a cabin, maybe a little three-bedroom cabin, you know, modern conveniences and such. But it's got a very old-timey, old-fashioned feel. They have a stove, which is, you can use gas, but it's a wood stove. And they use that wood stove for baking and you know, cooking a little bit of heat in the house because there's masonry that's a heat sink that heats up. But these people, for about 10 years, they're both working people. He's a mason. She worked in an office. They would pack up their truck in Waukesha on a Friday, drive as fast as they could out there, out to Blue River, and start hammering nails and putting on a metal roof and what have you. Get all done Sunday evening, drive back, get to their job the next day, and that's the way it went for many years. And now they can sit on the front porch and relax, and it's a beautiful, serene setting.
No traffic. Isn't that great? I love it.
It's nice.
Yeah. I do love it. If I was to retire with no cares in the world, maybe I'll buy the house from them. The inside of the house is magnificent. You got to see the picture spread in our Wisconsin magazine. The inside is just a knockout. It looks like a very modern house. It doesn't look like an old log cabin. It's just beautiful. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to our Wisconsin magazine's editor, and he's really like the owner, Mike Bino. Okay, let's talk about this train collector. We're not talking about HO trains. We're not talking about Lionel trains. These are the real things.
This is a real thing, and Mike Kirk of Waupaca is the real deal. Now, you mentioned model railroading, and he's got some of that in his past. As a teenager, he got into that with some other hobbyists around there. But he was just a hardworking man in a factory in the Waupaca area, and very community-minded. He was helping rebuild a river, create the River Ridge Trail. This is the year 2000. That runs through the outskirts of town and into town. And there's some railroad tracks there, long unused. The Soo Line, last Soo Line train, I think, came through in the 1960s. But there's the Waupaca Train Depot, a historic building, and it had fallen into terrible disrepair. It had been tagged by a whole bunch of graffiti artists, and there was a lot of pieces falling off, and it was quite an eyesore, right next to this nice trail that they had just put into town. And Mike loved the railroads. He was a train fan, and he couldn't just ignore that. So he got some support, moral support, really, from the local historical society, and he and his sister and others went to the Canadian National Railway at the time and made an offer to buy this old historic building, which was a complete wreck. He had the idea of refurbishing it. And you see a picture in here that looks beyond refurbishing to me, but they finally struck a deal where they bought this building after 4 years of negotiation. They got the building, and it was in rough shape, and Mike said, well, I was the one to do it. I was the one to push the idea. I knew I'd be the one doing the work. And people thought he was crazy about 2004, 2005. And he himself mostly started taking this apart, taking the roof off, getting it down to the bones, and rebuilding this old historic building. A lot of physical labor. Mike put a lot of his own money into it. He only lived a half mile up the line on it, and so whenever he had spare time, he'd be there working because he wants to safeguard the history. So there's three fireplaces in it, a ticket window, an operator's office, waiting room, baggage area. He's trying to keep it historically accurate, the way it was. So he's in there working day and night, investing his time and money. He said, that day-to-day stuff, I don't care. I live nearby. I can come by anytime. So he worked on that for 10 years. It took him 10 years, but he got this old masonry building with a tile roof all back in shape, looking the way it did when trains pulled in and out passenger lines in the 60s. This is in 2014. He's finished, but he's not really finished. Because then, the building's done, he gets the idea to dig a basement underneath it. So he starts doing it by hand and by himself. I mean, with a shovel, digging sand out from under this building so he could put a big room underneath. Why? For railroad memorabilia in a great big model train layout, as you just described. And he got that done. Some people helped him, but he got that done. So finally, in 2020, he retired from his job, and so he's at the depot in his station master's uniform, little outfit, official. And there's a caboose there, and there is hauling car. There's inside railroad chinaware. There's a baggage cart. There's a fully furnished caboose outside. Kids can activate the railroad crossing lights and bell. And if you're lucky, Mike will be there in his station master uniform to greet you. So you can go there and see this anytime. And there was... there was a documentary made, 2024, called Back on Track, The Rebuilding of the Wapaka Train Depot. It's one man's labor of love for about 20 years. And I mean, when I say labor, I mean it's backbreaking.
We have near us here, near the radio station in Sturtevant, we had an old Sturtevant train station. It was still used, but it was old. It wasn't modern at all. Very old. And then they just said enough. And they were going to destroy it, but the Historical Society or somebody bought it, and they moved it. Now it's a gift shop at Christmas time. They moved it to a totally different area, but it's still the original train station. And they put a couple of railroad cars out there with it. And it's great to hold on to this history. Don't let it die. Don't let it get torn down and buried somewhere. So they bought the train station. And where it was is just an empty lot now, but... the station's been preserved, much like this gentleman's doing. And by the way, I got to say, in that conductor outfit, he looks really authentic. He looks like he just came out of Dodge City, Kansas, and he's running.
You know, yeah, that is my favorite picture in the entire magazine. It was shot by a fellow named Giles LaRocque. He's a photographer in De Pere, but you can see the personality of this soft-spoken, gentle soul, and he looks like somebody you just want to sit down alongside and just talk with.
I could picture an old railroad car. back in the 1800s. And the conductor comes up, tickets. He's the guy.
Over his shoulder, you can see railroad chinaware from when people were served on Pullman cars.
This is a great issue. Every issue is great, but this one is just, you can spend hours reading, and then you'll reread it. It's Our Wisconsin Magazine. If you want to subscribe, it comes out every 2 months. Give the... I can't believe you put this out every 2 months. To me, it would take every year to put an issue like this out. Mike, give the phone number. How do they subscribe?
You can call us here at the office, too. That's 715-543-2311.
But I'm on the line.
Single issues, too.
But I'm on the line with you now, so you got to wait till I get off the line with you.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm talking on that line. This is great. I love talking to you every 2 months. If you want to hear the podcast, just go to WRJN.com, the Civic Media site, or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You'll find it up there tomorrow morning. It's a great issue. We just touched on a few of the stories. The photography is wonderful. If you really want to get into autumn, they've got some great photos in here. Mike, thank you very much for joining us. Hold on the line, okay? Don't go anywhere. I'm glad you're feeling better. A week ago, you were like a death's door. You sound better.